Parental advisory warning. Carlosophies, provoking thought and liberating people from their own bullshit since 2015. First time here? Hit subscribe. You'll want to stick around. Hi there. So I'm in the studio today. I actually had recorded this yesterday on the beach, but I'm still having tech issues. I got a new lightning adapter and now it's like recording these super highly compressed. It sounds like I'm on the end of a landline from the 80s. And so it was pretty much unusable. Really bad quality, highly compressed audio. I guess anyone more intelligent than me might be seeing this as a sign to like take a break, but here I am, not taking on the signs, but still showing up. I'm unsure as to what's going to happen moving forward. If I'm going to play, I'm still kind of in the realm of playing. This week, I've actually had quite a few podcast strategy sessions and a few of my frequency clients. So I haven't had the space to really, you know, play because it'll require like a pretty much a full rebrand, right? And I'm kind of still playing with how I want that to look. Plus, I'm just in the throes of moving into my studio. If you're on Instagram, you would have seen the backstories. Thanks for all your help with helping me make decisions about, you know, where to put my neon sign and where to place my table and all that kind of shit. We'll be moving in and setting up my, acoustic foam and all that jazz over the next week or so. So right now I'm still in the utilities cupboard recording, but that's all going to change. So like my energy has kind of been scattered and not in the place of figuring out what I'm doing with this podcast yet. So here I am. And today I want to have a conversation about money because it's come up a few times in conversation this week. I haven't done a money episode for a really long time. And I thought I would talk about a couple of things, right? So one of my wonderful clients sent me a message this week and asked me how, like, if I have ever been so overwhelmed by debt that I just, you know, didn't know what to do. And how did I deal with that? Because I've spoken a bit in the past about, how the Office Collective went and, you know, we all know it was a failure. Or if you haven't heard that story, maybe it's time I share it again. But basically, I had a co-working space in 2012. It was a financial disaster, probably the biggest financial disaster of my life thus far and hopefully forever. Actually, I've had a couple of big financial disasters, but this was big in the, you know, it cost me $100,000 and a lot of that was debt. And it took me a good 5 years to pay my way out of it. And the question was really around, like, how did I deal with that? How did I deal with, like, you know, having to pay back the tax office on a payment plan, having to pay back the bank for the loan, you know, like, how did I survive during that time? And I really thought about it and really I thought, well, you know, I want to share this because I feel like most of us have found ourselves in this position. You know, for me, I've found myself in this position a number of times, particularly in my 20s, right? So in my 20s, there was like credit card debt and I would top up the credit card and then I would take out a loan to pay off the credit cards and I'd end up with a new credit card and then I'd fill that credit card and I'd take another loan, you know, or extend my loan. And it was just like, it was just debt central. It was debt central. And I feel like, there's nothing necessarily wrong with debt. These days I don't have a credit card and I don't, I have a mortgage, but that's the only, money that I owe and, to someone else. So, and that just makes me feel good. You know, I like to deal like, because I've had so much bad debt, because I think there's good debt and there's bad debt, right? Or there's, it's not even good and bad, but there's like debt that is beneficial. For example, debt that would be beneficial would be a mortgage if you really value having your own home, right? A mortgage is good debt. I've also had it be not necessarily good debt or beneficial debt. When I bought my house in Nambucca Heads in 2000 and 8, I think it was, and sold it like 8 years later for less than what we'd bought it and lost money. So it's not always like a mortgage isn't always beneficial debt. It is while you're living in it, I guess, and if it's a long-term strategy. But like, you know, I had bought a house in an area that I didn't know. And after living there for a few years, it was clear that I couldn't see my future there. And so we had to move and we rented it out. And sometimes I wish that we had hung on to it because we'd probably be in a good position now with it. But it just felt so heavy and such a, like it did feel like a noose around my neck. Every time the real estate agent would call, I would just feel this sense of dread. And I wasn't available for that at the time, considering I'd also just lost $100,000 on a business and, you know, and I was trying to consolidate all my debt. So, you know, so there's beneficial debt. You know, we never really know if something's going to work out. So we really have to think about weighing that up, right? And sometimes we just don't know. Sometimes we'll invest and it'll seem like, you know, safe as houses, but sometimes it's not. And that's just the reality of it. And sometimes we have to dig ourselves out of a mess, right? So there's also debt that's just unnecessary and not very beneficial. So for example, all the debt that I accumulated in my 20s, which was basically me just spending beyond my means. Right? Like I was putting stuff on credit card, mostly clothes and CDs and, you know, shit that wasn't beneficial. And it was through that overspending that I don't know, like and then, you know, on top of that, I would have tax debt. So every year, for some reason, pretty much every year, I would be surprised by a $16,000 to $20,000 tax bill. Like, I don't know why I was surprised. I always, because it happened every year, yet I was never prepared for it. I just was one of those people who would be like, oh, I'll deal with that later. You know, like I can't afford that this month because, like, you know, I felt like working for yourself, a lot of us have this whole, you know, flux of money come in and then these stagnant periods where not much is happening. And I think that's one of the hardest things about being self-employed is that cash flow crisis, right? Like it comes in, we're like super abundant and then can go a little bit overboard and spend all the money and then realize, oh, fuck, shit, I haven't paid the tax office. You know, and it was really the Office Collective, which was the big financial disaster that led me to really think about, okay, so what am I doing here? Like this stress, I don't want to be available for this stress anymore. It's not healthy. You know, I can't sleep at night because I'm worried about, you know, I'm not opening my mail. I'm in just avoidance of everything. How can I shift this? And like it's cliche, but that moment, which I've spoken about so many times, when you know, when I drew above and below the line on one office wall at my Office Collective, and you know, above the line is love, below the line is fear, above the line is abundance, below the line is lack, above the line is hero, below the line is victim, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I don't necessarily subscribe to this all the time because I can see that there are issues with privilege and all kinds of shit around this. But for that particular circumstance, it was really powerful for me because I was very much in the victimhood and very much in the lack mentality. And so for me, it was like an active step. How can I move towards, you know, going up the line? And so there were a few things I started doing, tracking money coming in, just to be aware that there actually was money coming in. And then just taking little steps, right? So yes, it was overwhelming. There was so much debt. How was I going to pay myself and keep my head above water and, you know, and also pay the tax office back and pay my loan back and all that kind of jazz? And, you know, I did it by creating some systems, by creating things that I couldn't fuck with, because what I had recognized was this tendency to, you know, like feast and famine. Money comes in, voila, spend, 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 fuck, there's not enough here. Stress, 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 ah. So one thing I started doing, years ago, was paying myself first, which I have spoken about years ago in this podcast. But really, I just set up a monthly transfer to come out that would just pay me a wage. Nothing too extravagant, but I figured if I was paying myself first, then, you know, then other people would just have to wait if there was no money in there. It was like a, it sounds kind of like, I don't know, like it feels like I should have been paying everyone else, but also I had to keep my head above water. I had to keep my needs met. Otherwise there is no business, right? Otherwise I'm just running a fucking charity paying other people. And so there have been times where I haven't been able to pay other people because there wasn't enough money and I was waiting for some bill to clear, you know, or some client's invoice to clear. And I would just be honest with people. I would just email them and say, hey, so I've got your invoice. I'm really in a shit financial position. The second money comes in, I'll clear it. But I always paid myself first. And then once I got into that groove of paying myself first, then I started to pay the tax man, prepay my tax, because I didn't want to get to the end of the BAS, you know, end of the quarter, end of the financial year, and wonder how the fuck I was going to pay that. I didn't want to have to go on payment plans again and again. But payment plans are available through the tax office for a reason, right? And if we're feeling really stretched financially, we should absolutely take advantage of those to help us get ahead. There's no shame in asking for help. There's no shame in saying to someone, you know, as a business owner myself, I've had people disappear on payment plans and just like vanish out of my life, right? I've had people avoid me when I've gone to follow up on a bill. Like, yuck, it's such a horrible feeling. I've also had businesses, you know, when all the Office Collective stuff was going on, I had a company that I had been working for years, and I had always prioritized them. I had worked in the fucking spare room of my nana's house after her funeral and wake. I worked for them on the morning that I was bridesmaids for my best friend. You know, like and then they just fucked off, and I was basically not making any money off them. So I was charging like $10 a script for them because I'd had them for years and they were really lucrative at some point. But then it kind of dried up, but I was still working for them and basically for the same price as I always had been, and all pretty much it would just cover the cost. So not only did they leave, and I can't even remember how much they owed me, but it was probably between $6,000 to $10,000. Not only did I lose that $6,000 to $10,000, but I also had paid it out to my editor. So I was out of pocket, really, kind of $12,000, right? And so just, you know, little mistakes like that have made me put in better systems and put in better ways of chasing up money and stop being an avoidance, because that feeling of like avoiding the emails, which I've also done in the past. Like I used to avoid the stuff. And when someone would email me about a bill that they were chasing, I would avoid it. And now I proactively do my best. Sometimes I miss an invoice, but do my best to pay, you know, people before I go on extravagant financial benders, you know, buying shit that I don't really need. I make sure that all of my obligations are met. And when you're in that place of like huge debt and it feels really overwhelming, even just I remember credit cards just would feel like I'm just never getting anywhere. But you know what? You do, right? Like I thought I couldn't clear that $100,000, and I did. I did by just meeting my obligations month by month. And eventually I got ahead, and, you know, and now it's all a distant memory and hopefully will stay that way. But it really just comes by, you know, number one, actually looking at your shit, facing your financialness, because this is the other thing that I've found. When I've gone into avoidance, it feels so much bigger and heavier and unmanageable when we don't actually know what we're looking at, right? But when we do, it can feel really uncomfortable. But often we're like, oh, okay, yeah, I could manage that. You know, I'll ring the tax office and I'll offer them what I think I can manage and nothing more than that, right? And while I'm paying this tax debt down, I can, you know, still have enough in the coffers to start prepaying my tax. You know, prepaying my tax has been the best thing I ever did, because I don't have to stress at the end of any quarter. It's just there. So there's that, right? So that's part of the conversation here. How do we get out of those overwhelming debt situations? Well, we look at it in the face. We turn to face the strain, right? We turn the light on. We see what's actually there. And then we come up with a manageable plan for turning things around. And sometimes, yeah, it does take 5 years. But I can tell you now, 5 years from now, when you are debt-free and you're on top of it all, you're going to think it's so fucking worth it, right? Because like I think about all of those years of like stress and overwhelm and dread, like that feeling of dread. It's like visceral in my body. Like I know the feeling of your stomach dropping when you go to the mailbox or when you see an email come. Like it's such a horrible feeling. And I don't experience that anymore because of those 5 years of like just making sure I'm doing what I can. That's all you can do. All you can do is do what you can until it's finished. One step in front of the other, one step in front of the other. Put in better systems so that they support you financially. But don't go into avoidance. So I did have another story I was going to tell you about money, but I think I'm going to save it for later because it's probably enough today. I don't know who I'm recording this particular episode for because not everyone is in dire financial straits right now, but there are people who are. And, you know, I just genuinely want you to know that this doesn't have, like, it's temporary. This was one thing that I used to say to myself all the time, this too shall pass, this too shall pass. While I was going in and seeing my bank account, you know, at minus and not knowing where the next paycheck was coming from, like that shit is temporary. You won't be there forever. You've just got to look at it, you know, not be afraid to look at it and then figure out. I think once you kind of know what you're looking at, then you can find ways to like just move yourself up the line. How can I move myself up the line? How can I move out of scarcity, you know, into more abundance? What can I do today to, you know, that's going to set me up? I feel like it's almost like when I think about Indigenous Australians and in the old days, everything was done for the future generations, you know, like everything was done with like making sure that next time there was enough water or, you know what I mean? Like it was always thinking about the future generations and the past, right? Like so constantly constantly setting out things so that there would be a message from the past for now. And yeah, and so I feel like it's like that, like what you're doing today, what you choose to do today to face your shit sets you up for a future without that shit in it. Right? And or even when it comes, you've got the tools available to you to be able to deal with it faster, you know, quicker, less painfully. That's really what this is all about, because like all of the shit that I've done doesn't mean that I'm never going to face financial hardship again. It just doesn't. I can't say that would be true because I've, you know, nothing can future-proof you really other than dealing with what you've got on your plate right now that's going to serve future me, right? Or future you. That's what we want to do, is like face our shit so that the next time we have $0 in our account, we're better equipped to know, oh, hang on, this is temporary. Oh, yeah, remember last time, you know, I got to this point, I really freaked the fuck out and it didn't actually change anything other than make me really fucking stressed and not be able to, you know, like go full into primitive brain and not have any executive functioning going on. So what can I do to, you know, like relieve this stress? What proactive action can I take now so that I'm not in this position in the future? Hope that makes sense. And small steps are enough. a little thing is better than nothing. A small shuffle forward is better than, you know, stagnancy when it comes to this shit. So I hope this has been helpful for anyone who's in this position or anyone who finds it's not just about money, right? Like, we can be avoiding all kinds of things. And in fact, I'm just having my own poop, poop, poop of things that I'm in avoidance of right now that I can be facing. You know, there's always more fun and games to be had, right? So I hope this was useful. And until next time, I'm Carly Nimmo. Peace out. Want more me in your life? Head to carlynimmo.com or find me on Instagram at carlosofies. But honestly, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about this podcast. Until next week, peace out.